of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. Come on, church. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power of the Lord is here. Come on, church of God, it's time to worship. Time to give God praise, because where the Spirit of God is, everybody knows there's liberty. Amen. And we're here to worship God and give Him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yeah. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's time to worship. You have a feeling vibes this morning, right? When you're talking about praise, you gotta keep going higher and higher, because Jesus deserves the best. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Spirit of the Lord. I can feel it. Still the Spirit. Oh. I said that the power of the Lord is, yeah, 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 the power of the Lord is here. Come on and blow now, yeah. Everybody blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. Because the Lord is in His temple, let everybody bow. Let all the people praise Him now, the Lord. Everybody feel the presence of the Lord. They gotta keep worshiping. Going up again, right? Yeah. But know about the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. The blessing of the Lord is here. The blessing of the Lord is here. I can feel it. Because the blessing of the Lord is here. Yes. The blessing of the Lord. Come on and blow, everybody blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. Because the Lord is in His temple, let everybody bow. Let all the people praise Him now, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord.
Break it down time. Come on, Sanjay.
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my altars joining. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my sopranos, you say.
I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my
together now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing. Blessing right now, I can feel I said, can you see him working on the outside? I can feel him moving on the inside. So come on and enter in and cast your cares on him. He'll open up a window and pour you out a blessing. Cause when the Lord steps in, he brings everything you need. I say healing, power, and victory. Said it's all up to you, whatever you need him to do. Just trust him and believe, and by faith you will receive. I can feel, yeah, and I'm gonna get. I can feel it, yeah, and I'm gonna get. I said I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. I can feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm gonna get my blessing right now. The blessing of the Lord is here.
Worship the Lord. Give God praise.
Amen. Let somebody worship the Lord right now. Let somebody worship the Lord right now. Praise his holy name, for he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. His name is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. So as I share with you today, we'll be sharing using our sub-theme for this month of March, Discipling for the Savior. As we emphasize our call to discipleship, let me convey the welcome to those persons who came in after the welcome, and a special welcome to the March people, those who celebrate anniversary and those who celebrate birthday this month. Maybe not as big as October and January, but they are here and they are God's people. Amen. And they said they come to do it big. I hope they invite us. Welcome also to those who came in for the very first time. If you're here for the first time and you came in after the welcome, could you stand so we can recognize you specially? Anybody coming for the first time? You're here for the first time? Well, one person. Good to have you, brother. Welcome him in a very special way. Came along with those, infinite dedication. Good to have you sharing with us here today. Hope you will find time to come back and be with us all the time. As I share with you then, we bear in mind the passage that was read from Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. A very well-known passage, very well-known passage. I believe the Lord would want me just to simply say to you today that everybody is called to discipleship. And so we are talking about discipling for the Savior. Lord, bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name through your word. Let your word not return to your void, but I pray, Lord, that more and more your word will become a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that more and more your word will be hidden in our hearts, that we will not sin against you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Your church says, amen. As I think about this, discipling for the Savior, somehow an incident that happened to me some time ago when I was a student, I'm playing a kind of intra-university league. We're playing against each other as students of the University of the West Indies. And over my years, I've always been an opening batsman from primary school upward in terms of cricket. Used to always love sports and would be a part of a sport, but I used to play cricket as well. As I thought about that, I thought about a particular incident. And it came to me from the Lord to say to you, based on this incident, that Christians, people who call themselves followers of Jesus, has been dropping short. Dropping short. And to say to us that dropping short can be detrimental, can be dangerous. The incident was about me opening the batting, and this guy was really bowling fast. It was myself and this guy from Guyana. And this guy from, I think it's either Taylor Hall or Chancellor Hall. They were really bowling fast. And I was there facing the first over. And a ball was dropped short. And although I had on the gloves, it hit me on the one of the big finger and burst it. And it was bleeding. But boy, I decided I was going to bat still, despite the pain. Long and short of it is that, boy, when I finished, I had to find myself at the university hospital and got 2 injections. Kind of really damaged my finger. I thought the nails would not grow back. It was damaged. But you know, Lord reminded me of this incident. And I'm asking the Lord to help us to make the connection. For many of us as Christians, because we are dropping short, we are, in a sense, part and parcel of the damage. Part and parcel of adding, indirectly if we want to say so, or by not doing what is expected of us, a kind of omission, kind of sin. Help me, Lord. You see, we can always talk about the things that people do that they should not do, which we sometimes refer to as a sin of commission. Can we commit those sins? So we tell lies, we deceive, we steal, we keep malice, we are unforgiving. We could go on with the list. Murder some people, all kinds of things. And we really speak out against that kind of sin. But there's a dangerous kind of sin known as a sin of omission that Matthew, the book, the gospel for which we are speaking, also referred to. Where, by our refusal, we cause some things to keep on getting worse. By not doing what God expects of us, we are dropping short. And to drop short is dangerous and detrimental. So every time that the Lord speaks to us to make ourselves more active in terms of winning more disciples at our workplace, winning disciples in our community, winning disciples in our family, and we just don't find the time or can bother to do that which God is calling us to do, we are dropping short of God's expectation. And we are allowing things to be the way they are by default. For we are not doing what God expects of us. I believe that this is what is emphasized in the passage that we sometimes refer to as the Great Commission. From Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. It's a passage that is encouraging discipling for the Savior. But is the church, are the disciples, the followers of Jesus, really doing what is expected of us? In bringing to you this challenge that we must stop dropping short and start doing what God expects of us, for by doing so, not doing so, we are causing more danger. We are adding to that which is dangerous and detrimental by default. I believe the Lord will want us to get a little deeper in the passage to speak about what this discipling for Christ is talking about. I believe that there are three things that we may find in this passage that this discipling for the Savior is all about. One, this is a mandate. Two, this is to educate. And three, this is to populate. I believe that the Lord will want me to quickly just elaborate on those and leave you to think about it. Think about the fact that He's expecting of you to disciple for the Savior so that you can help to make the world a better place by what you do, as you do what God expects of you. First of all, as we speak about this passage and the call from God to disciple for the Savior, He wants us to bear in mind that this is a mandate. Now, I cannot think about mandate without thinking about the fact that nomination day is March 8th for Portland Western, that Western Eastern, and that election day is later on in March. For somebody is seeking a mandate. A mandate. Mandate is about something given to you to do by somebody with the authority to do so. With the authority to do so. And all of us has the authority to give a mandate. And in Jamaica, we either give a mandate to the PNP or to the JLP. For you hardly can find any other party that can even get more than 20 votes. A mandate. So right now, in the past, we have given the mandate to the PNP. But now we have given JLP the mandate by our voting. Because the voting is the means by which we exercise our authority to give the mandate. So what the PNP and JLP are now doing is that they are seeking a mandate to govern in Eastern Portland. And the people there will vote to decide who is given the mandate. Because they have the authority through the voting to do so. That Jesus is the one with the authority to give us the mandate to bring people into the kingdom of God. That we are God's agents, God's subjects, through which we build up the kingdom of God. And God has given us the mandate to do so. So these guys to whom Jesus was speaking were people who were followers of Jesus, to whom Jesus was now giving the mandate. So what does he say? All authority is given to me. So I have the authority to give you the authority to carry out this mandate. I'm going to explain a little bit further to you. So sometime when you read the passage, you will see the word all power rather than all authority. But bear in mind that there's a difference between authority and power. And really the more accurate translation that you see in some translations is authority. Now, everybody can have some kind of power, but not everybody have the authority. For authority is the right to use power. The right to use power. So, a person who is blocking the road could be doing so illegally, without authority. Even though because they feel so they're a bad man, they have some power to block the road. And you give them that because you don't want nobody come do you anything, so you allow them. But if a policeman decides to have a roadblock, and you can't pass in diverting you, he has the authority to do so. For he's given the right to use the power to do so. We don't just have power, but we have the right to use our power to go ye therefore and bring people in the kingdom of God, to come under the reign of God, which is the reign of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now, I want us to bear in mind, the passage also read from Genesis chapter 1, in particular verse 28, as I seek to finish this part. Verse 28, a part of it tells us that we must be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Now, every time we read this as Christians, we fail to make the application of this to the church sometimes. So when people read this, they only see it as saying to us that we must produce many children. And people even use it to defend not using contraception. But must be fruitful and multiply. Now, in the original context, it would have meant that to have as many children as possible. Why though? It was to make the people of God a bigger nation as possible. To make a lot of people who God could use as he seeks to advance his kingdom. But then, the Lord does not want us necessarily only to have plenty of children, so have plenty of children become a part of the kingdom through the church. In that case, all of us will be required to have as many children as possible. But here, Matthew 28 is really speaking about multiplying as well, but multiplying through evangelism, creating spiritual children who will come under the reign of God, which is the reign of Jesus. And the Lord is asking us still to be fruitful and multiply, not necessarily in terms of having plenty children physically, but having spiritual children born. Children who are born again. It's a rebirth that he's speaking about when he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We won't get into the whole thing of name and baptism. That's for our next setting. But one thing we must bear in mind, that anywhere we see the Father, we see the Son and the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth. For they are always working as one, three in one, and one in three. So it doesn't matter if you say Father alone, Son alone, or Holy Spirit alone. We are talking about one God manifesting himself in three persons. So we won't get into that. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. We are talking about one God. And anywhere one is the other two there as well. Bear that in mind. But what is important is that God is sending us to go and do something. He says, go ye therefore. And if I say to Sister Mertis, go outside and bring me a leaf, and she does not go, she is being disobedient. And therefore, if the Lord says, go ye therefore, it is suggesting that obedience is expected. And so the question is, are we doing what the Lord expects of us as we travel on the road, as we go to work, as we live in our homes, as we live in our community? Have we ever attempted to win a disciple for Jesus? And is it something that we keep doing and we'll never find ourselves too busy to go ye therefore? In fact, there are those who believe that the correct translation should be as we go. It is suggesting that we are going. And anywhere we go, whether at home or at work or at play, we have a mandate. And where you have a mandate, obedience is expected. Now, it is suggesting something for those who don't know Jesus, that you need to come to a place where you too can receive the mandate. For if you can't receive it, it means that you are not yet a follower of Jesus and you are outside of the kingdom of God. He wants you then therefore to also make a decision that you too can receive the mandate. And so it's a challenge to be obedient to every single person. It is a challenge to be obedient to those who are already followers, and a challenge to be obedient for those who are not yet followers to become followers, so you too can receive the mandate to go, or to do so as you go. Simple. I believe the Lord would want me to go to the second thing. For not only it is a mandate, but it is to educate. Educate. So it's a mandate to educate. A mandate to educate. And I use the word educate deliberately. And as I was looking at educate, I realized that it's not just to communicate, but it is to maybe communicate as well. But to more than just communicate, it's to communicate in such a way that person will learn. And it's not to indoctrinate, but that's a different word as well. For when you indoctrinate, you are saying to people that you really have no choice but to think this way. But it's to educate so that people can make a choice about what is the best thing to do, to educate. So go ye therefore, and some translations say, make disciples of all nations. Some say, teach all nations. But it doesn't matter. For to make disciples is to teach, which is to educate. To educate is to make disciples, really. So, if I'm a teacher in a classroom, I have the responsibility to make disciples of these children. In other words, to teach them the things that I know so that they too will know and be able to apply. And I may have a job to teach them more than just physics and mathematics and arithmetic, because life is more than about the subjects you do at school. So I have a responsibility to educate. And educate must go beyond what is mental ability, what is science. And we know that already. For I say it so often that to teach people subjects without teaching them how to live in terms of moral living and spiritual living is to create monsters. And I always use the example of those who use gas chambers to burn up people. Very bright in physics and chemistry, but they were monsters. And sometimes we do a lot of that when we teach people computer technology, you know, teaching them about morality and spirituality, for they learn computer well and come and haunt us. Use it for scamming and for breaking into our accounts. And so to educate without adding to it moral and spiritual aspect, without moral education and spiritual education, is maybe to create monster. The Lord is calling us to educate. And he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In other words, teaching them to love, teaching them to forgive, teaching them to do the things that are in line with the will of Almighty God. It's important. And we have many opportunities to educate people. But are we making use of these opportunities? And where there are not opportunities, we need to create these opportunities. For God bless us with the ability to be creative. For we too have attributes of God. We too have some things that God has, such as creativity and compassion and all those attributes of love. We have the ability to do these things which God created us with. And so, we should make use of these. So to what extent do you make use of any opportunity you have been given at your workplace to educate people about the way of the Lord? What is it that they should do? To educate people about love and forgiveness. Forgive me here. I just hear the Lord saying to me that, how can you educate people about that which you don't practice? For you first have to practice love and forgiveness. How could you be the bitterest person, the person who is most bitter at your workplace, and then you are going to tell people about forgiveness, that you hold up everything and you have a not going down there? But the truth is that when you're educating, it is not just about what you say from your lips only. It's about what you practice doing with your life. And so you're expected to live. It's the same Matthew in Matthew 5, which says, let your light so shine among men that they will see your good work. Not just hear what you have to say. And so you are called to educate. That is to make more and more people like Jesus. It is calling us, therefore, to do a number of things. I could not mention all of them. It is calling you to stop passing people by the roadside as if you're better than them. Stop just criticizing the man who used to dig out in palm. You can stop and have a word with him. And sometimes when you talk to some people, it seems like you're not reaching anywhere, but talk anyhow. For the Holy Spirit will do the rest. That we must find time to walk over to the football field without cussing off the wire themselves when they go to church and go and play football on Sunday morning. Could you just stop and even say, let me have a word of prayer with you this morning? Some might get cynical. But there will be those who will listen to you. Because they were even cynical with Jesus, as we said last month and first Sunday. But there are those who will listen to you. To what extent do you seek an opportunity at your workplace where there is no devotion at all to say, boss, give me the opportunity even once per week to give a word about the way of Jesus, the way of the Lord, how to live our lives right? To what extent do you try to do something when you're at a workplace when the atmosphere is poisoned with all kind of malice and all kind of hatred and all kind of backbiting and all kind of vindictiveness? To what extent do you make a difference as you are given that opportunity to educate people about the right way? The way of the Lord. Who knows what that seed you plant, how it will bear fruits. Maybe the next month or 2 months or even a year down the road, that one little seed you plant may grow to be a big mustard tree. The truth is that we are given that opportunity not just to win souls. But sometimes what we do is to tell people about Jesus and they say, yes, we baptize them and that's it. The mandate is more than that. The mandate is to keep on telling those in the church and out the church about the way of the Lord, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, so that by so doing, the Holy Spirit will use that to bring them to a place where they come to know Jesus and follow in the way of the Lord. Not just to join church, because there are many persons who come to church, have their name in church book, take communion, sing a lot of Christian song, a lot of choruses, jump up and dance, skin up and lick, mash up bench, but at the same time, they lack the education about living according to the way of the Lord. For they have not learned the way of the Lord. We have a responsibility to teach within the church, within our home, on the beach, at the workplace, at the football field, anywhere we go where the opportunity is to just give a word. It doesn't have to be a big word sometimes. A small word to say something about the way of the Lord. Just when you see opportunities where there's malice and hatred, where there's vindictiveness and bitterness, to see a word, to offer a word of prayer, and to read a scripture. That has to do with love and has to do with forgiveness. For we have a responsibility to educate. Educate for mental classroom education. Education in subjects is not enough. For we are only creating man, but to educate people spiritually and morally, to educate people about the right way, the way of the Lord, is something that is crucial. And most people don't take it for granted. For if we do so, we are dropping short. And to drop short is dangerous and detrimental. We have a mandate to educate, finally. A mandate to educate, a mandate to also populate. For discipling for Christ is not only about a mandate we are given, but the one who has the authority to give us that mandate, which you must be obeyed, but also a mandate to educate. To educate. To educate, because we need to bring people to a place where they pledge allegiance to the Lamb and follow the way of the Lord. That's what we are talking about. But finally, this is to populate. To populate. Where diligence is required. Meaning that it is not easy, and sometimes you will be discouraged and feel like you don't want to do it because of the responses you get sometimes, because of your own responsibilities in terms of your job. in terms of the things you have to do. You are tired and can't find the time. That's why diligence is required, where you will create the time when you can't find the time. You put it in there as priority, where when you don't feel like doing it, you still resist the feeling and do it. Where you don't feel like saying anything, you resist the feeling and still say something. Diligence, hard work with effort is required if you're going to populate. For there are all kinds of things that will come to discourage you, make you don't feel like doing it. So, when Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, he's asking you to take up the mandate and go to educate, so that by so doing, there will be a greater possibility of more and more people coming into the kingdom of God under the reign of God, the reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's really what a church is called to do. To be faithful in doing so. Sometimes you will see no fruit. Sometimes you will see little fruit. Sometimes you will see plenty fruit. But we are called to do so in season and out of season. You know those terms. But in season means that there's a season when you will see plenty fruit. Like when mango in season, you'll see plenty mangoes. But there'll be an out of season time when you long for a mango and not even one mango on the tree. So, you're called to take up the mandate to educate, even when it seems like there is no fruit bearing. You are doing this every day at your workplace, and the things seem to be getting worse, and nobody seems to be changing. In fact, the bitterness gets really worse than it was. But will you stop? You have to continue with hard work. Doing it even though there seems to be no success at all. Diligence is required. That you're talking to your children and they seem to be getting worse or stop coming to church. But do you stop educating them about the way of the Lord? Even when they say they don't want to hear, do you not still speak to them? Your family member, those that you meet up on East End Old Harbor Bay, that every time you talk to them, they insult you. Do you not stop? Or do you not pray about it, asking God to give you the opportunity to still keep on doing it? For we have a responsibility not to drop short. Because to drop short is there. If we don't do it, who will? If we don't claim Old Harbor Bay, Old Harbor, New Harbor Village, all of St. Catherine for Jesus, who will? If we don't say, Lord, I will go. Then what are you praying about? Lord, send some laborers in the vineyard. Are you praying about it? But what about you? Will you not say, Lord, here I am. I will go, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. Lord is calling for us to be diligent in populating, to win more and more people as we seek to educate. More and more people who will be like Jesus. People of love and forgiveness. Not people of bitterness, but people of kindness. People who will make this country a better country. And we have to believe it. That we have the mandate. It's not just Andrew or Peter. But we have a mandate. We have the mandate to govern. But we have the mandate to bring people under God's government. So people not only be ruled by PNP or GFP, but ruled by God. We have the mandate to educate. So people through our education about who Jesus is and what Jesus expects. The Holy Spirit will bring a change and a transformation so more and more people will populate the kingdom of God for the sake of the glory of God. So what shall we do? We shall leave here to be obedient, to take up the mandate. We shall leave here willing to bring people to pledge allegiance to the Lamb. We shall educate so more and more persons will know the way of the Lord and believe that the Holy Spirit will enable them to respond to what we are saying to them. We leave here believing that the more people who come into the kingdom is the better the world will be. For this mandate is to populate the kingdom so more people can say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.